Good morning and welcome to our AA meeting for Planet FM 104.6. My name is Ben, I'm an alcoholic, and I will be chairing our meeting this morning. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
I will now read the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Thank you for joining us this morning. Unfortunately, we did have three speakers organised, but one of them has been held up and is unable to make it. But we do still have two fantastic speakers, Jeff and Justin. They will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with us this morning. So first of all, I would like to welcome Jeff. Jeff, would you like to share?
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I'm Jeff and I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for inviting me here, Ben, and yeah, you've been a big part of my sobriety, and as a fellow runner, I've been inspired and shocked and amazed and even slightly jealous of your progress and the staggering improvement in your running over the last few years. So yeah, it's good to be here, and I'd like to just take this opportunity to share my experience and strength and hope. And my drinking started in my early teens. I remember raiding my parents' liquor cabinet when I was left alone in the house and making cocktails, probably when I was about 13 or 14. And my idea of a cocktail back then was just taking a huge tumbler or glass and pouring a little bit of everything in the liquor cabinet that was in there and then just necking that, having this weird, awesome feeling sort of wash over me and not being able to remember it the next day. But there, that was where it started. And then there were the rugby socials where I'd black out and pass out in a field somewhere and vomit and just make an ass of myself, basically. But it was pretty obvious from the day one that I couldn't drink responsibly right from the very first drink. You know, I've just got no off switch. When I start drinking, an imaginary siren sort of goes off in my head, you know, more. And then when I was at university, my drinking really hit its stride. I really wanted to go to Otago University in particular, but after my sister went there and I heard all about the drinking culture and, you know, how debaucherous it was down there, and I thought, oh, that sounds pretty cool. I had no real career ambition. I just wanted, it was more of a lifestyle choice to be a bit of a party animal down there, and I quickly established a reputation as one, and, you know, everybody sort of knew me as someone who would be a reliable drinking partner any time of the day or, 24/7, I was keen for a drink. That's why it took me 5 years to get a 3-year degree, because drinking was way more important than studying, and the problem started there. They started in my teens. I got my first DIC when I was 19 after trying to impress my mates by just being a complete idiot and passing someone on a blind corner when drunk and having a head-on collision with another car that was carrying a pregnant woman. Some big Samoan guy got out of the car and smacked me in the head, and I just remember thinking, I deserved that, actually, because that was just bloody stupid. And then on that same New Year's Eve holiday in Coromandel, I jumped off a bridge blind drunk, not knowing how deep the water was, and I scraped all the skin off half my body on rocks under the water. I've broken my leg playing rugby drunk in a hallway with my mates, and went to the pub that night, staggered to the pub with a broken leg, and next morning I woke up into the huge sort of orange sized swelling on my ankle and went to the A&E, and yep, it was broken. So drinking was more important than me getting to the hospital that night. So, just getting worse from there. Over the next sort of 30 years, my alcoholism just got progressively worse. The DICs kept coming. I kept getting fired from jobs, and relationships with my family and friends suffered, and, you know, relationships with women always ended because of my drinking. About 7 years ago, the mother of my kids, who up and left about 7 years previous to that, took the kids after my fourth and fifth DIC came bang bang in the space of a few weeks. About 7 years ago, she killed in a car accident, and I was living overseas, married to a Danish woman, and I decided I needed to move back to New Zealand for my kids, and she refused to come with me. So I lost the mother of my kids and my wife at the same time, and I nearly drank myself to death over those losses. So, yeah, it got to the point where everyone knew I had a massive drinking problem, so the only way I could drink, because everyone knew I shouldn't be drinking, was to drink secretly. And that led to depression and despair, and I even quit a job once just so I could stay home and drink. And after about a month of that, I had completely destroyed my health and finances so badly I had to call my dad and my siblings and ask them to come and help me. So they came, and I went into Pittman House and got detoxed. Excuse me. and that started my most concerted effort to get sober, and it's been a journey. It's been a few years now. Coming up, I had a one-night relapse nearly 3 years ago, which caused huge drama and meant I was kicked out of the home. Of my home for 2 weeks while I did some damage control and managed to salvage that relationship. But eventually some of my past sort of came back to me, and it was just untenable, really, with some of her family finding out things and, how many DICs I'd had and that sort of thing. So, yeah, drinking has always caused me problems over the years. First it was fun, then it was fun with problems, and then it was just problems. So, and there have been mistakes and missteps along the way. Even in sobriety, I've made some poor choices, but I'm able to deal with those a hell of a lot better than my previous method of drowning every emotion or problem in alcohol. And that just creates more problems. But I love AA because I've met so many great people and made friends with people such as yourself, Ben, and Justin here, my sponsor. So I really look forward to the meetings. I go to about 3 or 4 meetings a week, and my life's improved immeasurably because of that. I'm physically fitter now at 53 than I've ever been, even in my 20s. I've got a great job, a roof over my head, petrol in my car. I've got a wonderful new and very supportive girlfriend. When I was drinking, I was a bit of a rat bag, really, but when I'm sober, I'm a much better father, son, employee, friend, brother, and just human being. So I love AA, I love being sober, and I'm very proud of myself that I've overcome this horrible disease. But I know that it's something that I'm going to need to continue working on for the rest of my life. And hopefully I have several more decades to enjoy yet. And because I know that if I was still drinking, I'd either be in hospital, jail, or dead. So yeah, that's me. That's my story. And thanks for asking me here today, and appreciate your friendship and support, Ben and Justin.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I do have to say it's been an absolute pleasure to get to know you over the last few years and watch your and walk this journey of sobriety with you. So well done, and keep coming back. And now I would like to invite Justin to share. Justin.
Thank you, Ben, for asking me to come to share my experience, strength and hope on the radio station. In all honesty, it was a little bit nerve-wracking, just like anything that people ask me to do in recovery, but I just have to, you know, break the fear and do it. And to be honest, I got asked to be a speaker at a speaker meeting, and I turned it down because of fear, because I do have a fear of public speaking. But I thought this would be good because I'm kind of hidden in a room with two of my friends, so it can't be that bad. Experience, strength and hope. People that haven't heard my story, I was a loose goose on the juice. which led to a lot of bad situations in my life. And I was introduced to recovery in 1997 via an overdose and then going to a rehabilitation centre on an island out in the Hauraki Gulf, which was called Rotoroa Island. And I stayed out there for 3 months and I was introduced to AA and the meetings and how it worked. Unfortunately, I didn't remain sober after heading back to Auckland because, like a lot of my experiences in life, I got into a relationship that didn't work out the way I wanted it to. And my solution to that was to buy a bottle of Jim Beam and get absolutely smashed and get a DIC. And that seemed to be a pattern in my drinking, is that if things didn't work out the way I wanted it, then I would escape the world by drinking or drugging. So that carried on right until, you know, when I was, you know, married, and I had a 3-year-old baby, and my drinking was getting out of control. I already kind of felt that in my body and I knew that, but I didn't come back into AA until I had an ultimatum from my ex-wife. I remember the day she said, "You can choose alcohol and drugs, or you can choose the baby that's inside me and the 3-year-old that's standing next to me." And I said, "Okay, see you later then. I choose drugs and alcohol." And because drugs and alcohol had a grip on me, so I just left. And I went on a bender for about 4 days, and then I snapped out of it. And I was like, "What the hell am I doing?" And, you know, I think that's where my higher power came in, because, you know, I was in Torbay at my brother's house on a single mattress on wooden floors, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I looked out the window and I saw the moonlight and I just said, "Please, God, help me." And from that day forward, I rang up someone in AA and I got my ass back to AA. And here we are, you know, 15 years later, and I haven't looked back. My life has changed dramatically. But, you know, even in recovery, I have a lot of experiences, you know, divorces, job losses, location changes, financial problems, financial success, international travel, and more relationships. And all those experiences in recovery have been a learning lesson. And, you know, I've had to really fall back on the program and the fellowship for all of those highs and lows. And I haven't had to have a drink over any of them. I'll be honest, I've felt like drinking and I've felt like drugging in the last 15 years, but I haven't, because I've got a program to work and I ring up other alcoholics and I try and help others. The AO Fellowship and my higher power has given me hope. I believe my sobriety is a God job and it's a gift, and I've been given a second chance. You know, every day I do the prayers that my first sponsor told me to do, and that is the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, the serenity prayer. And I also read from the Daily Reflections book, and that helps me tremendously, because it sets me about the day to stay in God's will. And at the end of the day, I thank my higher power for keeping me clean and sober. And I also add much appreciated, because before I came into the rooms, I didn't really appreciate much, or anybody actually, or anything, until I, you know, came into the program. So now all I have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, and that involves those prayers that I just mentioned before, you know, reaching out to other alcoholics using social media platform, or, you know, I don't actually ring them up like old school, but I just, you know, you send out a Facebook message or a text, or, you know, see them at the meeting, and I try and help that way. I've been involved in, you know, service. I was part of the you know, committee service centre meeting for 2 years, and I try and do things like Ben's invited me to do today, and, you know, I've got a few sponsees and try and help my sponsor where as possible, and yeah, just try and get involved in AA. And these days I do try and do 3 meetings a week. That seems to be my staple, and if there's any more, that's a bonus. Really good fellowship on the coast where I'm living at the moment. You know, Monday nights, 12 by 12, so we read a step every week, and then Wednesday night we've got a topic meeting, which is great. It's always talking about a topic. And then Friday night we read the big book, so it's a really good balance for me, and it's what I need. And I'm glad I found that fellowship up there on the coast where I met you two great people here today. So yeah, I try and help other alcoholics and remain spiritually connected and try and remain humble and try and help others, which is very difficult because, to be honest, I just, you know, really want to just think about myself most of the day. But I have to try and, you know, stop and start thinking of others. And so, yeah, I'm just really grateful that I'm still clean and sober and that you invited me today. And I wish everyone well in their recovery. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you very much, Justin. My name is Ben and I'm an alcoholic. Now, normally I wouldn't share while I'm in the chair or chairing the meeting, but seeing we are one speaker short, I might have a quick share to end the meeting while we've still got time. So I'm incredibly grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. I truly feel like I've been given a second chance at life. Before I came into the rooms of AA, you know, I thought I'd tried to stop drinking for probably the previous 5 years. You know, initially, early on in my drinking, it was just fun. I was just a big partier. And then over time, you know, I started to drink to solve problems that my drinking was creating. And drinking stopped becoming a luxury and it started to become a necessity. And my loved ones and people in my life started to make comments about my drinking. And then so, as Jeff mentioned earlier, that then caused me to start to hide my drinking or be sneaky about it, or, you know, and all of a sudden I'm hiding empty bottles and doing all sorts of stuff like this. And, you know, I think I was always a good person and I always had good intentions, but my actions weren't matching my intentions. So I found myself, you know, after hitting another rock bottom, I found myself heading to an AA meeting, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to be able to get sober and stop drinking, you know, I'm going to be sentenced to this life of sobriety and it's just going to be awful. And I'm very pleased to report that the exact opposite is true. You know, I truly have a life beyond my wildest dreams today. And that's all thanks to the fellowship of AA, the power of those 12 steps and a God of my own understanding. When I first walked into my first AA meeting, the first gift I was given was the gift of hope. You know, I walked in and there were 40 people in that room and I thought, holy shit, this must be every alcoholic in Auckland or every alcoholic in New Zealand. And then as they started to share, you know, I listened for the similarities and not the differences. There could have been a million reasons why I could have said to myself, oh, you didn't drink like that, you didn't do this, you hadn't been to jail, so you're not an alcoholic. But I didn't. I saw people and they had what I wanted. So I listened for the similarities. And then I did what they did. You know, we've got the big book, which is the literature in AA, which outlines the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So this is a 12-step program, and chapter 5 starts with, really, have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path? You know, and in my experience in AA, never have I seen a person fail who has really given Alcoholics Anonymous a true go. You know, they've really given it everything and made it the most important thing in their life. You know, sobriety needs to be the most important thing in my life. I have incredible things now. I have a business, I have a job, I have a partner, I have a family. But anything that I put in front of my sobriety, I know I'm going to lose. So I have to make sobriety the most important thing so I can have all these other things. So I guess I want to say to anyone out there who You know, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. You know, that's one of our traditions. If you've got a desire to stop drinking, I encourage you to give AA a go. You know, it's not easy. It can be really tough early on, but it's absolutely worth it. Yeah, I encourage anyone out there to contact someone they know in the fellowship. I'll read out the AA helpline soon. Give it a Google. Head along to a meeting. You know, go there, be open, honest, and willing. Listen for the similarities, and you know, you too can have a life beyond your wildest dreams. So, I'm incredibly grateful for AA. And I will keep coming back. Okay, well, that's all we have time for today. So thank you so much to Jeff and Justin for coming in and experiencing and sharing your experience, strength and hope. We are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. So tune in on Planet FM 104.6. If you do wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757, or you can go to the AA website, which is aa.org.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information, including a list of meetings in your area. Now, could we please close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
I'll be crying while the TV's loud. I will sell all the clothes that you took off my body, but right now they're in a bag in my house. I can't get rid of you as much as I try to. You're like this growing, never dreading doubt. Maybe in the morning I'll be better. Once I swear. Friends not to come here again, cause I make it so awkward when we meet. I'll keep trying my best not to draw your attention, but I like it when you're looking at me. I can't help that I'm obsessive and still a bit possessive over all the parts of your body. And your new girl will say that you didn't have to save her, but I never asked you to. So you are still the baggage that I carry you around. So you whip me down as I ask myself, where are you now? When I'm lying under my rebound, I still hear the sound of this voice in my head say, don't look now, he's across the street and the sky fell down under that concrete. And I unwound as you denounced any love you ever had for me.
face on the edge of no tomorrow. Oh, baby, we should make the most of the unknown. If the sun's gonna go supernova and a time on Earth is over, everything that we have gathered even matter at all. Fire
fire up.